Take your Bibles, if you will, now, and let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 18th chapter division. 2 Kings, chapter 18. The title of the message today is The Good King Hezekiah's Tragic Sin. The Good King Hezekiah's Tragic Sin. 2 Kings 18, 1 through 7. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. Notice verse 3. It's a very important verse in the text. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Conversely, many times they would say about the king, he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, like Jeroboam, who led Israel astray. But here, he is complimented. Verse 4, he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following after him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Well, this is just an introduction to give you a little idea of who King Hezekiah was. King Hezekiah, as you can see already in these 7 verses, was favored by God, and he was a good king doing good things, wonderful things that God was pleased with. Yet, there was one sin, and we'll see it after a while, there was one sin that overwhelmed him. One thing. It's sort of like he was a man wearing a white garment, or a person. If a person is wearing a dirty garment and they have another speck of dirt on it, you don't even notice it. But here was a man that was so clean and pristine, and yet there was one sin, just one dark blot on his otherwise white raiment that God points out. I wonder in your life and in my life, could there be that one sin that keeps us from having God's best, that keeps us from being all that we could be for the glory of God? It's an important thing to think about. Now in verses 9 through 11 of chapter 18, we get a little more of the history. It came to pass in the 4th year of King Hezekiah, which was the 7th year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. By the way, Assyria is present-day Iraq, and Nineveh, it would be the capital of that country right now, as far as old Bible terms. So they have a great history from where they come from, many times in animosity to the people of God. But Shalmaneser was the king, the one who was over Syria, and he came into Samaria in Israel, and that was the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, and they were the leaders that got away from God first. Judah finally came in, the 2 tribes, the southern tribes, but these were the northern tribes, and they just kept on and kept on and kept on. Listen now, they just continue to defy God and do what God told them not to do. And this was a whole nation, you might say, the northern kingdom. And finally, God said, I'm going to allow Shalmaneser to come in and take you captive. I've had enough. Do you know God does that? God let people go on and on and on. And finally, God says, that's enough. And God can do it to any nation if America doesn't straighten up and get right with God. It's going to happen to our nation. I think we're already seeing some of the clouds on the horizon. I love my country, but God does not have any pet countries. I can assure you of that. And so there have been many nations that have gone into the ash heaps of time in the past that nobody ever thought that would happen to them. By the way, as it can happen to a nation, it can happen to an individual. They got away from their dedication. They got away from holiness. They got away from fire. The fire of the Lord, that is the revival spirit, all of that. Christian, don't lose your fire. Don't lose your devotion to Almighty God. Why is it when we first get saved, we're all out for God? But some people who've been saved 20 and 30 years are on cruise control. They just sort of sit back and enjoy the preaching. Don't get involved. Their heart is not in the work anymore. They're not doing anything. They're just sitting and soaking and sometimes souring and going away. We need people who stay on fire for God. Who do not backslide and get away from God, because you may be dumped in the ash heap of an individual. It can happen to a nation. Israel, under the leadership of Ahab and Jezebel, which we preached about in the past, got away from God, and God said, that is enough. You're not going to do it anymore. And friend, he'll do that to you if you don't get your heart right with God. Maybe that one sin. In 722, Sargon followed up Shalmaneser, and Sargon took them into captivity, the captivity, Assyrian captivity, in 722 B.C. And it was an awful, terrible time. And then came along a man by the name of Sennacherib. Sennacherib, all of these would follow, one would follow the other, and Sennacherib came to Judah. And Sennacherib said, I'm the Assyrian potentate, and I'm going to take over Judah, the two tribes, the southern kingdom. And I'm going to wipe them out. But you know what happened? He met somebody he wasn't anticipating meeting. He met a godly man by the name of Hezekiah and another man of God by the name of Isaiah. They were contemporaries, and he met them. Now I want you to look, beginning in 2 Chronicles 29. If you'll turn there, you may want to keep your place in 1 Kings and then turn to 2 Chronicles. And follow me the best you can, because I've got to go back and forth in order to get the whole picture to you. But he came down and said, we're going to wipe you out. And Hezekiah said, no, I don't think so. In verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. By the way, you can serve God at an early age. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now look at what he does in verse 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Here was a man, a king, who said, it's time for us to get right with God. It's time to get back right with God. And he said, we're going to fix the doors of the temple. They'd let the temple go. They'd use it for trash. It would be like our church, closing the doors, and you're walking here and there'd be garbage bags all around, trash all around, the doors off and the windows broken and all of that. That's the way the temple was, the house of God, the place of God. And Hezekiah said, that isn't right. We need to repair all of that. We need to make things right. Then in verse 27, Hezekiah, after all this took place in 2 Chronicles 29, 27, Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. They repaired the altars. They got everything right. Hezekiah was happy. The people were happy. They went in. They had a revival of sorts. And Hezekiah said, let's offer an offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. Everybody was happy. They began to sing. They began to rejoice. I believe real religion sings. Amen? I believe that people who love the Lord, people who are on fire for God, there may be some extenuating circumstances, but by and large, the people are going to have a song in their heart, the joy of the Lord, if there's a revival spirit. God said, make a joyful noise. You say, I don't even know what a note is, and I can't hit a note. I don't know what it is. That's all right. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But here's the idea. It overflows. It abounds. We're happy. We're thrilled. We have revival. We're on fire for God. Deadness and lifelessness is gone. Our churches ought to be alive, don't you think? Deadness and lifelessness ought to dissipate and go away. I've attended some of those kinds of churches. Years ago, when I was a little boy, sometimes we would have a church situation that was not good. I went where my mom and dad took me, but sometimes those churches were dead, or we'd go into another church. They were so dead. I mean, you could just feel the death in those churches. God help us not to have that kind of church. Let's have an alive church, a happy church, people expecting God to do something, people on fire, people revived, people not dead and lifeless. Everybody rejoiced. Hezekiah rejoiced. The king got happy about it. Verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. They just got things right. I like Hezekiah, don't you? My kind of man. He's doing the right thing. Now that's chapter 29. In chapter 30, Hezekiah sent out letters. Look at verse 1. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that is some of those in the northern kingdom, that they should come to the house of the Lord, the southern and northern, and at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. He said, not only do I want to experience it here and those around me, but I want everybody to experience this revival. Come to Passover. We're going to have Passover this year. We hadn't had it in years. We're going to offer the sacrifice that is typical of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who is going to come and shed his blood. We're going to have the Passover, and I want you to come. That was good news. But, you know, like so many people, look at verse 10 of that chapter. They scorned him and laughed at him. So the post passed from city to city, the post persons, postmen, through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even into Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Isn't that sort of the way people do today? We try to give them the good news. Some people must think their gift is being scornful. I've met a few out door to door who evidently thought God had gifted them to be mean and scornful. And you can expect that. It's going to come. Some of them are going to laugh. Some of them are going to make fun of you. I still think it's fine for preacher boys to get out on the street corner and preach their hearts out. Let them scorn. They'll laugh at you. They'll call you uneducated and idiots and so on and so forth. But if you've got the gospel truth, preach the gospel truth. Get out there and give it to them. Preach it. Let me tell you something, young preacher boys, young men. If you'll always preach the Word of God, you'll always have somebody to listen to the Word of God. You don't have to worry about it. Get out there, start preaching, and somebody's going to come. Some will laugh, some will make fun of you, some will scorn you, but you stay with it, be faithful, and God will give you some that will listen, just like he did Hezekiah. Well, people came from Israel up in the northern kingdom. They had a few that were left, a remnant, and he said, I want you to be part of this. Most of them had already been taken into captivity, but he said, I want you to come down. And I want you to see that he was a good man. In chapter 31, in verse 21, the Bible says, and in every work that he began, Hezekiah, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. That's the way we ought to serve God. Serve God with all of our heart. That's the way Hezekiah was. He served him with all of his heart. Well, Sennacherib wasn't happy about the whole thing, and so he sent Rabshakeh. Rabshakeh was his eloquent spokesperson. He sent about three, but Rabshakeh was the one that was to speak for King Sennacherib. And he made fun of all of that. He mocked all of the things that were being said. And Hezekiah wanted to let him know that he believed in God, but Sennacherib said, "Hey, who is your God? We don't know your God. Why, we went up to the northern kingdom and they said they believed in the same God. They had the same God, Jehovah, that you claim to have. We'll wipe him out. We'll wipe you out. Who do you think you are saying that you rely on the true and living God?" One thing that he didn't understand was they had had revival. The northern kingdom had not had revival. And Hezekiah was right with God at that point in time. And so he sent him to him and he said, he made threats and said, "We're going to take you into captivity." Sennacherib later sent a letter to Hezekiah, and he said, in essence, "Who's your little old God? That little God you say you're worshiping." He reminded him, "We captured the northern kingdom. We took them to captivity. We never saw your God. We never had any problems out of him. Nothing at all." And he said, "I'm going to take you to a better land. I'm going to give you greater idols. I'm going to give you more prosperity than you ever dreamed of." And he used some vile language that I cannot read publicly in a public forum, but that was what Sennacherib said in his letter, and he got it, sent it to Hezekiah. Well, let's go back to 2 Kings just a second, because both of these tell us about what took place. In chapter 19, in 2 Kings, we have part of the story, beginning with verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Now, what would you do if the king said, we are powerful, we've already taken the northern kingdom, now we're going to come whip you? We'd probably all run to our local psychiatrist and say, "I need help. Give me some aspirins." But what did he do? And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, where he had helped restore that, and spread it before the Lord. That's a good thing to do when you have a problem. Take it to the house of God. Take it to God. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear." Listen to me, God. "Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand." Remember his prayer now. He said, "God, save us out of Sennacherib's hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that I am a great man." No. "That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." His heart's still right. And he says, "God, we need your help. You know what Sennacherib has said? He's coming, and we need your help. Let him know what the living God can do." And that's what began to happen. Right about that time, Isaiah comes into the picture in verse 20. "Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God." I like a preacher who says, "Thus saith the Lord God." "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hadst prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." And he goes on to say, "And it's going to happen. Don't worry about it, Hezekiah. It's going to happen." And he said, "I'll tell you what God's going to do. He's going to send one angel." Look at chapter 19, verse 35. Isaiah said, "Hezekiah, God's going to just send one angel." He didn't have to send all the angels. He's the true God, the living God. He's going to send one angel. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, that's Sennacherib and his group, and 185,000, 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That's the God of Hezekiah. That's the God who can do what God wants to do. And he said, let's just bring one little angel, let that angel do a little bit of work, kill 185,000 soldiers, and he will get the message. And he did, verse 37, and it came to pass, as he went on back to Assyria, and he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, which was no god, and Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with a sword. His own two boys killed him. His two sons killed him. He ran like a coward, went back, big, haughty, boastful King Sennacherib, who said, who is your God? And Hezekiah said, this is my God. My God has all. What kind of God do you have, by the way? Well, Hezekiah got sick. But you know, God is so good. He is so good and merciful. Look at chapter 20, 2 Kings, still there in chapter 20. Verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. I mean, he was about to die. He was going to die. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, get your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. By the way, it's always good to have your house in order, because you don't know when you're going to die. Neither do I. We don't know when we're going to die. We're planning to live a long time. But let me tell you, I've had a lot of funerals of boys and girls, teenagers, young singles, young adults, as well as the senior saints. But he's telling, get your house in order, because you are going to die, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, Lord, I beseech you. And he told some things that he had done. And Hezekiah wept sore, verse 3 says. It came to pass before, in verse 4, Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. Aren't you glad God hears our prayers and sees our tears? When you get on your face before God and you weep and you call out to him about a problem, he hears, he sees. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. He said, all right, I'm going to heal you. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. Hezekiah, you're going to die. Get your house in order. But he weeps and prays and said, God, heal me. God, let me live. And he said, I'll let you live. 15 years were added to him. Well, Hezekiah is like a lot of Baptists. He said, Lord, I believe you, but would you give me a little confirmation of that? Would you give me a little sign? And he said, yeah, in God's grace, he would do that. I don't have time to read all of that, but there was a courtyard. And in the courtyard, there was what was called the dial of Ahaz. And the dial was actually a set of steps. It went up and down, and those steps were the way they told time out in that courtyard. And in the middle of those steps was a column, and depending on how the sun was shining, once it came up, it would start on the first step and the second and the third and go right on up. But then as it was changing, it would go in the other direction. It would go that direction till noon and go in the other direction and start down those steps, and it would go into the evening and the twilight. He said, do you want the shadow to go up, or you want it to go down? What do you want to do? You want time to move forward or go backwards? He said, well, it'd be pretty easy for it to go forward. Let's make it go backwards. And God made it go backwards 10 degrees. He said, let's have it go backwards. And he counted them down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There it is. You see, God's in control of all of that. And so he moved time backwards. Hezekiah was so blessed. 2 Chronicles 32 says, and Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and made himself treasures for silver and gold, precious stones, spices. Sort of reminds you of Solomon, doesn't it? Everything's good. He's doing right. He's got all of this, all manner of pleasant jewels, very wealthy, well-known man. But what about the tragedy of his life? And we see it again in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and also 2 Chronicles 32 and 2 Kings chapter 20. We don't have time to read all of that, but Babylon was cast off Assyria. Always another power comes up, and the Assyrians had been in power, and Babylon cast them off. This is somewhere around 70 B.C. And so they cast them off. And as a result of that, they were seeking allies. They wanted allies to help them whip Assyria. And so they came over to that territory, and they began to court, if we could put it that way, Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 32:31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. He said, we've heard about you, and we've come to find out about all these wonderful things that have been done in the land. What's been done? He needed allies. The wonders were, he'd heard about the 185,000, he'd heard about God adding 15 years, he had heard about time being affected. They were very interested in astronomy. That was something that was very, very important to those people in Babylon. And so they were coming in to do all of that. Well, 2 Kings 20:13 tells us in verse 13 that this is where he made a mistake. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them. He hearkened unto them. What does that mean, he hearkened unto them? What it really is talking about was that he felt complimented by them, and he was, in being complimented by them, he took down the barriers. They began to brag. They began to tell him how great he was and all of that. And he got proud. 2 Chronicles 32:25. But Hezekiah rendered not, listen, here's this great man, had all of these wonderful things, like so many of us Christians who go along serving God for a long time in a wonderful way. But Hezekiah rendered not again unto the benefit done unto him. Watch this, for his heart was lifted up. Hezekiah's heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and upon Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, friend, when we get away from God and our hearts are lifted up, we will have the chastisement of God on us. It's going to come in the life of a believer. Hezekiah was saying, well, yeah, go ahead and brag. I did all of that. You know who I am. I'm the man that worked all that out. And I can see Hezekiah saying, boy, isn't it great, all these intellectual, worldly people, and here the king of Babylon is coming over, and all these big shots, and they are showing me some interest. Why is it always we feel so complimented when the world wants us to come down to their standards? Why do we feel like we're somebody when they want us to compromise? You students, listen. Why do you feel like it's great if the worst students in the school come up to you and say, come on, do what we're doing? And you say, oh, they like me. Oh, they want me to do what they're doing. You don't want to do that. Hezekiah, I read about another person in Isaiah 14 had the same attitude. You know what his name was? Lucifer. Satan, who lifted himself up. And really, God said, O Lucifer, son of the morning, thou hast said in thy heart, I, and his problem was I. That's the problem of a lot of Christians. We are not looking at God. We're looking at ourselves more than God. What I am, what I want. And Hezekiah took the glory, and you can read the text here. He began to show them all the wealth, all the gold, all the silver, all the things in the house of God. Boy, you think the king of Babylon wasn't wanting to see all of that? He said, yeah, it won't be long. I'll be here and I'll get all of it. And by the way, that's exactly what happened. And so he was talking about the fact that there was going to be judgment. Hezekiah took the glory. Well, old Isaiah comes on the scene again. And you just can't get rid of the old independent fundamental Baptist preacher here. He just keeps popping his ugly head up. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, whom, by the way, he was not one whit afraid of, and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They have come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he told him all that he did. Verse 17, Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. He said, Hezekiah, you goofed. You got too proud, too cocky. You showed the enemy all there was. You compromised. And that's a problem. Why did he do it? Pride. P-R-I-D-E. No wonder God says, of all of them, I hate pride. God hates pride. Pride in the biblical sense. Why is it there are people who say, I love your God and I love your Jesus, but they won't come to church? They won't walk the aisle. They won't join the church. P-R-I-D-E, pride. Same problem Hezekiah had. Why do we have people who have been saved, and yet they will not come forward and make a public profession of their faith? Pride. Why do we have people who have been saved and will not follow the Lord in believers' baptism? Pride. Pride. Too proud to walk down the aisle. Too proud to put on a baptismal garment and to stand in front of people. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't proud? Why do people not get saved? Why is it that maybe somebody here today who is unsaved will hear how to be saved? That you're a sinner, Christ died for you, and there's only one way to go to heaven. Only one way, through Jesus Christ. And you can have the gift of eternal life today before you leave this building. You can be gloriously, eternally saved once and for all. And that can happen to you. And the Spirit of God says, listen to that preacher, he's telling you the truth. That's right, that's right, that's right. And yet, when the invitation is given, they don't come. I think the main reason is pride. Pride is the sliding board that more people slide into hell on than anything else. And I say that in a loving way. I'm not glad about it. But what would keep somebody from coming when the Spirit of God is drawing them and dealing with them to say, no, I will not do it? Why is it that Christians who know they have a sin, and remember it was just one thing in his life here, led to other things. He was so good in so many areas, Hezekiah, but one thing messed up his life. One sin that he wouldn't let go of. One thing that tripped him up. What one thing could it be in my life, in your life, that trips us up and keeps us from having God's best and bringing the most glory to him? We have a lot of our young people that, and adults too, that get enmeshed in the world. Young girl, young fellow, out there, and all of a sudden, you see they're saved, they're dedicated, they're committed, they're serving the Lord. And then they meet somebody at college or they meet somebody in school. The next thing you know, they're pulling them out of church. Next thing you know, they're no longer singing. Next thing you know, they're no longer serving. Next thing you know, they're not very interested in God's word. Why do they do that? I want to be accepted. Pride. Pride. I want to be accepted. And the world bids for them, and the world compliments them, and the world wants them. And friend, let me tell you something. If you leave the humble way of God, whoever you are, if you leave the right ways of God and bowing down in prayer and going to church and Sunday school and preaching and serving the Lord, watch out. Watch out. Because you're going to pay the price. I can tell you today that God will give you all you need. God will give you everything you need. You don't need the world. You don't need those things. Humbling things. Humbling things are godly things. And things that will cause us to humble ourselves, will build our soul, will build our lives, will build our homes, will build our churches, and will build our nation, if we'll humble ourselves before. That's what God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we'll humble ourselves. Hezekiah, no, I'm not. I'm going to follow this newfound experience that I've had, and I'm going to do that. I'll tell you today, God will preserve a people who will stay humble in His presence. And God will preserve a church like that, or a family like that, or an individual like that. A person who will stay humble in the presence of Almighty God. God will bless. You need to call on Him today if you're not saved. And say, here, preacher, I'm coming down the aisle, and I give you my hand. And while I'm giving you my hand, I accept Jesus Christ into my heart. You as a believer need to walk forward and take care of any business in your life. You need to make it right with God today. One sin. Great man, Hezekiah. One little thing he let get in there, pride. Messed up his whole life. Messed up his whole family. Let's stand, please. In a moment, we're going to ask you to come. For whatever reason, spiritual reason, you need to come. If you do not know, if you're not saved and sure of it, please step out to the aisle nearest you. Don't let pride keep you from coming down and trusting Christ as your Savior. Don't listen to the devil's lie. Christian, do you need to do business with God? What is that one sin that does so easily beset you? Paul talked about that in the Word of God. And we all know. And if you don't know, you might just want to come and ask God, is there anything in my life you want to show me? Sometimes we don't see it, or we don't recognize it maybe. And sometimes it would be wise to say, God, there may be something and I'm just not seeing it. Would you let me see it? Would you let me know it? Would we be so brave and transparent as to be willing to pray that prayer to Almighty God? May God help us to do what He leads us to do. Father, thank You for Your word, and thank You for letting us look at the life of Hezekiah, king of Judah, all the good that he did, but allowing one sin, one thing in his life that messed up everything else. I pray, God, You would help us to do business with You today. I pray the unsaved would be saved, the saved would do what's right. God, help us to not let pride pull us away from serving the living God. In His name we pray. Amen.